It's Cuz's Corner with 97.5's Anthony Gargano live from the all-new Sportsbook at Parks Casino in Bensalem. Don't forget, the Parks Casino Sportsbook app is now live in PA. Now, it's the Cuz, Anthony Gargano on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good evening, everybody. Happy, happy Thursday night to all across the Delaware Valley. It's Cuz's Corner. Live from the 444 Sportsbook of Choice, Parks Casino Street Road, Bensalem, right here in the Sportsbook. Quiet night on the slate tonight. NHL on break, only a couple NBA games and a few college, and we got big picture stuff as they get ready for the Super Bowl right here at Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Sellin. More on Parks and some of the props and all kinds of good stuff between Chiefs and Niners coming up in a little bit. But I want to start it off because we know that there is Sixer panic going on right now. And Sixer angst is the way to go, is kind of what it really is. And so Tim Legler, of course, friend of the program, is going to be joining us at 6:30. And I want to do a little something here. I want, and again, I want you to call up and give me your Ask Legs question. If you call up, give us your Ask Legs, I will ask Legs your question. Now, normally, you know, we always have a great conversation, Legs and I. And I love talking basketball with Legs. What I want to do is I want to do the Ask Legs moment. And I want you guys, because I just hear it every day. I was listening to Mikey, as I always do. And whether it's, you know, calling me or calling Mike or the morning show, it's, you know, it's angst-ridden. All kinds of angst is out there in the Delaware Valley. And it gets worse because, you know, losing Josh Richardson for a couple weeks during this stretch where you got to play all those big teams, including next week at the Lakers on Saturday, and then you're going to have Boston, Miami, and Milwaukee coming up, and then you're going to have to play, you're going to have to be without Josh Richardson for those, and you know that we saw it last night against Toronto. It's going to be a chore. You'll have no Big Joe, and you'll have no Jay Rich. So I know you got lots of angst, and I know we have our discussions, and there are always, well, a lot of them are around Ben, as you can well imagine. But what I'd like to do is I'd like you to get off your chest your Sixer angst and Sixer worry, and if you want to frame it into a question, Legs is coming up 6:30, and I will quote you. I will even give your name to Legs. For example, Paul said, or Paul asked you XYZ. And then Legs will answer your question. And maybe calm you down just a little bit. Because I know that you're worried. And it is mid-season, and there is some seed elements to it, and I get it. Three games out of the two seed, just to look at it and go, doesn't mean anything. You're in a six seed. So there's seed worry. There's immediate concern without Jay Rich. And there's long-term worry, how they all fit together. There's Horford worry. There's Simmons do it nightly worry. There's Simmons not shooting worry. There is Embiid coming back in shape worry. So there's Brett Brown worry. There's worry everywhere, according to the Delaware Valley. And you know, let's get out in the open. And it'll be your chance to ask Legs. We could talk about it. And then I will phrase the question to Legs. And you'll see, you'll have it. So I'll give you here's the number, 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. This will be your chance to ask Legs. We're here at Parks Casino Street Road, Bensalem, the sportsbook. So normally, if I was back in the studio, I would just put you on right there with Legs. But because I'm here and Legs is going to be on the phone, it's going to be tough to do that. So thus, we'll have Ask Legs. Now, Tyler, good evening. How are you? Tyler Zuli.
Man, what's going on? How are you?
Fine, producer. I love Tyler.
Good to talk to you.
He's a great sportsman and a great germaphobe that he is.
You know it's true. Wipe this whole place down after everybody left.
I gave, like, real quick, I got to tell him about it the other day. I gave Tyler the pizza on the floor dilemma. If it's the last pizza, slice of pizza, and you're starving, and it's, you've never had like the Chicago, because this really happened, the Chicago deep dish pizza. I had two of my buddies that never had it. They had it. They're like, wow, was that, this is awesome. The piece falls on the floor, and they fought over it to eat it. All right? So I asked Tyler, would he get involved with floor pizza? Now, this is like at a restaurant. There's a place called Giordano's, and we were out there in downtown Chicago. And the slice fell on the floor, and they fought for it, Tooch and Boo. They fought for the floor pizza. I asked you, Tyler, say you didn't have any, you were starving, would you be in or out on the floor pizza?
And I got to tell you, I've been to Giordano's when I went to cover the draft in Chicago. It's the best pizza I've ever had in my life. Still no chance.
It's the best pizza, that pizza?
I thought so.
Better than our kind of, our pizza?
I like deep dish better than New York style.
Really?
Yeah.
The our style, like thin crust.
Yeah, the thin crust. Pizza? Yeah, exactly.
Really? What about, wow, that's amazing. Listen, it's good. There's a lot of cheese, and it's a pie crust type of thing.
I think that's why I like it, the pie crust.
You like the pie?
Really? Yeah.
You like the pie? Okay. Yeah, I go, you know, it's good. It's good for a change, but I could not eat that every day, the Chicago pizza.
Maybe that's, and that may be why I like it so much, is because I don't have access to it.
Right, exactly. You know, it's good that, you know, once every couple of years, you go, you're in Chicago, and you go, oh, I'll go for that. You know, it's good. No, I feel you. All right, now give me your Sixer angst on a scale of 1 to 10.
Right this minute, especially after last night's kind of collapse, it's probably a 6 or a 7 for sure. It's up there. And I think it's a systemic problem that's not just the team and it's not just the coach. I think it's everything combined worries me, because if they can't find home court advantage, I don't know how much success they have in the playoffs.
So are you afraid that they could get upset early if they don't have home court?
I don't know if it's an upset, because if they're the lower seed, I don't. But yes, I am afraid that they may be a one and done if they have to go play four games at Scotiabank or Fiserv or wherever it ends up being.
Really? You think these teams could beat them in a series?
I think Toronto could beat them in the series. I know that you don't think. I know that you don't think Boston can. I do.
You do.
I do. I know that they've won all three games.
Why?
So far. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm just overly worried about them going on the road. But whatever it might be, that them not having four home games scares the heck out of me.
Wow. Now you realize that the big man's been out.
Yeah, of course. I think you have to take that into consideration for sure.
I mean, like, you know, we talk about Toronto. You go, oh my God, who was that? Think about this for a second. Jay Rich goes out 4 minutes into the game, and that's a game up until the last couple minutes.
Right.
And Toronto kind of sprinted away. And that's without Richardson and Embiid.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to throw a zone when it's just Ben and Matisse and Tobias and whatever. But, you know, with that, you're not talking about the big man. You're not talking about Jay Rich, who's their best zone buster in that sense.
Yeah, and maybe my biggest concern is, if you look at not having those two, is how the bench plays without the, you know, everybody slots up one or two spots.
Right.
I just think the bench is so thin.
I agree.
That it concerns me if somebody goes down in the playoffs or somebody gets in foul trouble.
Yeah, I agree. I do think they need a piece, and I do believe they will get another piece for the bench. And I think you're correct when you say that it's thin. But is it worth the worry as we speak here? Are we overblown it at all? And again, I'm going to take myself out because, you know, I could be a little overly optimistic and maybe part of it's want. But I know I can be overly optimistic because I don't share the same fears. But we're going to put, we'll put legs to the test. And I'll, you know, you could do the same thing, Ty. I'll give you a question as well. So we're going to do Ask Legs. Here's the phone number, 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. He's coming on straight up 6:30. So we'll chronicle. I'll write him down. I got my notebook open. I got my pen in hand. That's my happy place. I will take down all your questions. And we'll throw it by legs. Also, what Twitter account are we using over there?
Just the main station one, 975 The Fanatic.
All right, you could monitor that one.
Yep.
All right? For those on Twitter, if you want to tweet us, at 975TheFanatic.com. Let's do this. Let's take a quick TO. We're live at the Fabulous Sportsbook. The look staring at the wraparound video wall, which is incredible. At Parks Casino Street Road, Bend, Salem. We'll come back. We'll take your phone calls. We'll do Ask Legs. And then we'll get them up straight up at 6:30. It's Cousins Corner, live from Parks Casino Street Road, Bend, Salem, only on 97.5
The Fanatic. 97.5
The Fanatic. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Six 18 live at Parks Casino Street Road, Bend, Salem. It's Cousins Corner. All right, Ask Legs that will be coming up. Now let's do it. Let's get right on to it because we got legs coming up at 6:30. Jim in Havertown.
It's updated last night.
Jimmy.
Yo, hey, hold on. I'm arguing with my younger brother.
What's going on,
you got
Jimmy?
You brothers, don't you?
What's that?
You got brothers, don't you?
I got my cousins, like my brother, Joey.
He's like
you
your brother.
You know my cousin,
about
yeah.
Him all the time. Yeah, I know, bro.
You know Joey Thomas.
I got three brothers, dude. Yeah. I got two older than me. Used to beat my butt all the time.
Yeah.
And I got one younger than me. The worst beating I got in was when they catch me beating up the younger one.
I still wouldn't fight my cousin. I don't care what I might kick my ass.
I'm telling you, dude. Yeah, I learned very on you're not going to win them all because I got nothing for them older ones when I was a kid. Speaking of having nothing, dude, Simmons is driving me nuts, and I know he's driving you nuts, too. We were two of his biggest proponents out there. I mean, everybody was, dude. We're not no geniuses. Everybody's seen this kid's talent.
Yes.
He's got amazing freaking talent. That's why he's driving me nuts, man, just like everybody else. I'm not saying nothing new here, but it's just frustrating me, obviously.
I love him. I do. And I'm more patient, I think.
Yeah, I agree. He's super young. It's true.
I mean, when you're 23, like, listen, I get it. Like, when people say it's either inside you or it's not inside you, like,
yeah.
I don't understand what they're talking about. Didn't you see, like, Monday, when he goes off with that game, third, and I know it's a
great,
bad team. I get it. It's Brooklyn and the whole thing. But when he goes off for that kind of game, I did, that's an improvement from what we saw last year. Like,
his
stretch has been an improvement. So
I'm
hoping that, you know, this is what we see.
I agree. I should be more optimistic and encouraged by what I'm seeing him do positively than the negative. You are right with that. I'm just jaded lately.
No, I get it.
With family members.
Yeah.
But I'm really jaded. I'm really jaded with him. I got to say one other thing before you get me off.
Sure.
I believe you work there. But anyway, that's me. That's my liberal side, brother.
Tyrone?
Yeah,
today.
Yes, he worked for Hannity.
Yeah,
freaking the worst of them.
Yeah, because He had to earn a paycheck.
Yeah, I agree. And I said that in a message I left him. I said, look, I know you got to swallow your pride to feed your family and advance your career.
I love Tyrone, man.
I understand. Dude, I knew you wanted to protect him because you work with him. And you know me growing up, man. If I worked with him, we'd probably get along well, too.
Believe me, he's a great. And Jimmy, great. Thank you, buddy. He is. He's terrific. I got him. He's back all day long. He's terrific. Mikey chimes in. Oh, my God. On the text board. He and Jim from Havertown, hysterical. Hello to Tooch, who's hanging on the corner, Cousin's Corner. Let's go to Anthony. You're on 97.5, The Fanatic. What's up, Ant? Hello, Ant. Anthony of Baltimore. Let's go to Mike in Churchville. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how are you doing?
Thanks Hi, Mike.
Taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, my angst level is really low for the Sixers, and the reason why is it's certainly I wanted the Sixers to finish like a second or third seed when the season began, but that's not looking too promising right now. So, personally, I would rather see them finish a sixth seed so that they don't. The dread to me would be finishing fourth or fifth, because then you'd face Milwaukee in the second round. So I would just assume finish the sixth seed, and I'm not worried about facing those other teams on the road.
I agree with you. I don't want to play Milwaukee until the conference finals.
Right. So to do that, we got to make sure we don't finish fourth or fifth.
You know, I feel you, and I do agree with you in that sense, but I don't. Look, I know the next 2 weeks without Richardson is going to be tough for seeding. And I'm with you that I don't feel like they can't win a series because they don't have home court. Not this. I think they'll be playing much better basketball. Give me a question for Legs, Mike.
Well, I guess my question for Legs is then, you know, does the team really worry about seeding as things are moving along and stuff, or they just let it play out, or they try to avoid that thing like finishing fourth or fifth.
That'd be the question I'd have. I got you, my brother. I got you. Thank you, Mike. We appreciate it, man. Alan in Villanova. Good evening, Alan.
Hey, I tried to talk to you earlier today to come after you. I was going to be right on with Tyrone and that other caller who says you're on his bucket list to hug. about the whole Ben having a better career than AI. I swear I was ready to drive somewhere and just kill you. You're my favorite host of all time ever, but I was still ready to just kill you. I just couldn't believe it. Even if you're right, okay, because I just have such a... I'm so biased because, like, without getting too personal, AI and Villanova basketball basically kept me sane for a number of years. So I have a place in my heart for AI. And I understand your point about Ben, and maybe if he does take good care of himself and stuff, maybe he will surpass AI. But right now, I know Ben had that great game, but then the game after that, he disappears in the fourth quarter. AI never took a second off. AI would never disappear in the fourth quarter.
You heard what I was saying, right? Like, that,
I know, I did hear what you're saying.
Yeah, like, listen, I love the dude, too. I mean, he was warrior, fun. I mean, every night he was worth admission just to watch him play, right?
That was the whole thing. Yeah. I was going to so many games, and I would just get in for $10 and take my two kids and sit all the way up top for the $10 seat to the mezzanine madness. And it was just a night out of pure entertainment because of him.
Yeah.
And that was just one of the greatest times ever. And then you know I have to throw a cultural thing in here. Do you remember the name Nassim Assamwah?
Yeah.
Nnamdi
Assamwah. Yes.
Nnamdi Assamwah. You know what he's doing now?
No.
Google up New York Times review of a soldier story.
He's an actor, right? Yes.
But now, not only is he an actor, he has a major supporting role in a Broadway play with Blair Underwood as the lead, and he got a good review in the New York Times. Isn't that something?
That's great. You know, it's funny. He was a great actor as a cornerback, too, because he acted like he was a top-flight cornerback.
Well, no, I remember that.
Like, I did. I remember that that was an interest. And that's a big deal. Blair Underwood's a really good actor, so that's pretty cool,
man.
Yeah,
got a decent review, so just thought I'd throw that
What's the play? Do you know the play, Al?
It's called The Soldier's Play. It was actually a movie with Adolphus Caesar. It never played on Broadway. It won a lot of awards off Broadway many years ago when it first opened, but this is the first time it's been on Broadway. But Blair Underwood has tough shoes to fill, but this guy, Adolphus Caesar, was great in the original
off-Broadway. That's Nnamdi Asomugha. That's wild.
Nnamdi Asomugha is a picture of him in the New York Times and everything. I couldn't believe it.
That's great. And
my son has his jersey. That's classic.
We're
going to have to go on a Saturday, whatever Saturday tournament is.
That's cool. Hey, Al, always a pleasure, man. You know, we love you.
Yeah, you're the best, Anthony. You're the best. Even if you were wrong, you're the best.
I love you, buddy. Have a great night, pal. Take it easy. 610-632-0975. All right, we got to take a quick TL. We'll come back. Legs will be on the line, and we'll see if we can try to get some questions for Legs on Twitter and as well, because it'll be like an Ask Legs kind of thing.
Yeah, we got a couple on the station's account already.
All right, good. So we'll get to Legs coming up. 610-632-0975. That's how you reach us. Cousins Corner, we're live. Parks Casino, Street Road, Ben Salem, the Sportsbook on 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right. You know, it's funny because I love our next guest. You know, I have him all the time, and I love him, and he's such an incredible basketball mind. He should be running a team or a program, doing something, but he's kind enough to slum it with us. And every time we start to fill with angst, I got to place the bat phone call to Legs. That's right, Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Hotline after a week-long stint up at ESPN, breaking everything down, including Zion. Legs finally back home in the area. What's up, brother?
What up? You know I love coming on, man, because you love hoops. You're passionate about hoops. That's why I love coming on.
It's the greatest. I love our conversations, man. I really do. It's so much fun. So let's get into the angst because we're back to the angst. Monday, Ben has this incredible game, and then last night, Jay Rich out 4 minutes into the game. Nick Nurse throws a zone at them. They struggle and lose, and people automatically go back to panic mode.
Yeah, and look, they've been playing really well. I mean, during this stretch without Embiid, obviously. I mean, and it's been a different look, and obviously it's opened things up for Ben Simmons. This is the best offensive stretch he's had so far in his young career during this stretch because the floor's open, and it's more about, you know, he has the keys to the whole thing now, and you can see that he not only has taken it upon himself to be more aggressive as a scorer, the opportunities have been there for him. And it's been a different look than it is with Embiid, and they've played really, really well. So, you know, you can't overreact to losing to a really good team on the road when you basically, you know, you don't go away. You lead most of the first half, then they make a run, but you don't go away. They try to bury you. You come back. It's a one-possession game, and you basically get knocked out of the game with ridiculous three-point shooting at the end of the game. And a defense, yeah, they zone defense stifled you a little bit. But, my goodness, there's no shame in losing to the Toronto Raptors without Joel Embiid on the road when you take it to a one-possession game with 5 minutes to go. I mean, that's what you would call a quality loss in this league. I mean, and there is such a thing. And the Eastern Conference is tough, man. There's six teams that are all capable of beating each other on a given night for the most part. And that, so there's no shame in that. So I don't know where, you know, the additional angst would come from, other than, look, I'd be concerned about, you know, losing a guy, Josh Richardson, yeah. And I was traveling today. Did you guys get an update on that?
Yeah, he's out for a couple weeks, 2 to 3 weeks.
So that's a blow, obviously, because they're not the deepest team. I don't, you know, love their bench. So that's definitely a concern. And they got some teams coming up here. I looked at the schedule when Joel went out, and they had a lot of these teams that they're fighting with in the East coming up over, like, the next 3 weeks. So, obviously, a very inopportune time to lose Josh Richardson when you take on that stretch.
Yeah, you get the Lakers on Saturday, and then the following weekend, you'll have Boston, Miami, and then Milwaukee in succession.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about, man. I couldn't remember exactly who it was, but when we first went out, I just took a look, as I tend to do if a star player goes out, because, look, that matters a lot. And to get those teams that you're, you know, not only a top team from the West, but you get some of those other teams that you're fighting with in the Eastern Conference for positioning, tough timing from that standpoint. But, I'm not going to overreact to what happened last night. If they lose that game, if that's a loss, you know, down in Atlanta, or they lose that game, you know, in Charlotte, then yeah, I would be a little bit more disturbed by it. But the fact that they, you know, took that team as deep as they did and really played well for a long stretch in the game, particularly the way they shot the ball early in the game, I'm not going to be too upset, and Sixers fans shouldn't be either. I just think what it comes down to, there's something about this team that leaves people unfulfilled. And so when you watch them, you constantly have that little bit of angst in your stomach. Even when they're playing great, even when they're at full strength, you feel something is just not there that they're going to need to get it done. So I understand the town we're in, man. I've been here a long time, too, so I know how people react. But I don't think they should overreact to that one, Anthony.
So what is it about, can you put your finger on it? That little thing that, because you nail it. I think people kind of feel that.
I think there's a, you know, look, aside from the fact that, and I watch, you know, I'm watching the whole league, and a lot of people, they might love the NBA, but they're really honed in on the Sixers in this area. So they're watching every Sixers game, and then they're going to watch some other games if it's convenient for them around their schedule. I'm watching the whole league. I mean, I'm watching all of these teams as much as I can, particularly the top, you know, the top half of the league, the teams that are going to be in the postseason. So I think, to me, one thing that's different about them is, you know, the most nights, the you feel like there's a lack of the firepower that they have with their three-point shooting that just doesn't look like the rest of the teams in the league, for the most part. That you look at teams that could potentially win it. So I think that's one thing. You know, you look at the guys that come in the game off the bench, and you compare that to other teams and some of the guys that are coming in playing big minutes and what they're producing, and you feel like they're just a little bit short in that area. Obviously, you know, you're always going to have this debate over, you know, Ben Simmons and what he's going to be offensively when you really need him to do something in a big moment in a playoff series with his lack of perimeter offense. That's always going to be there. Like I told you, I think the last time we talked, I stopped worrying about that, because I just don't think that's something that's going that he's going to, you know, evolve into. So therefore, let's look at what this guy's doing that helps you across the board and check off all these boxes in ways that he helps you win. And I think you try to see if you can tinker around him to make sure that that part of it is filled in. It's tough when your primary ball handler plays that way. I agree. I mean, I hear you, but I think that those are the things for me. It's the three-point shooting, the bench, and then just that lack of spacing and flow to their offense because of the way, you know, their point guard needs to score. It's also kind of similar to the way their center needs to score, the way their four needs to score. Tobias is more of a mid-range guy. Josh is like a mid-range guy. So you think about the way the court shrinks offensively, and I think that is also looks different than most teams that I'm covering.
All right, so let's get to some of the questions from the people. A lot surround Al Horford.
Yeah.
All Twitter, Vince and Jason and K-Love, Joe, DLP, they all A lot of Al Horford questions. First, where do you does he fit in for you? Is there a way to integrate him?
Not as much as I wanted him to be honest with you. I thought it was a great pickup. I really did. I thought because of his evolution as a perimeter shooter, which he has really added to his game over the last 4 or 5 years, I thought, you know, that's going to be some really good high-low action. He's a guy that's going to be comfortable in a pick-and-pop game with Ben. He's going to be comfortable playing on the perimeter if Embiid's in the post getting double-teamed. He has not had the impact as a perimeter player that I was hoping he would. And I think at times, if he's not comfortable out there, that's when he starts to tend to migrate towards the lane. And that's when you look at them sometimes and their spacing isn't very good. And so it hasn't worked out as well as I thought it would. I think that's a fair criticism and a fair concern. I thought he'd be better. Look, part of it is, you know, look, man, the guy's been in the league a long time. I mean, you know, so is there a little bit of slippage just because of the stage of his career that he's at too? I mean, that could be part of it.
Yeah, and I guess I didn't see. I thought the same thing you did, which is Horford can shoot the three. He can space the floor as a stretch four next to Embiid. And he can hit that corner three. And he just, I mean, his shot just is, he's just not hitting his shot. Is he movable at all? I mean, a lot of people are asking that question. Come the deadline, if you're Elton Brand, is he a guy that you can move?
I think he's got a big number attached to him now that might make it a lot harder. I mean, I think, and here's the thing, big men in this league just do not hold their value. If you're lucky enough to get a really good contract and you're a big in this league, you just are not viewed as valuable as you would have been 10, 15 years ago. You're just not. I mean, teams are constantly looking to add, you know, guys that can be perimeter defenders, guys that can be, you know, perimeter, whether it's individual scores or three-point shooters. Like, you hear that all the time. Teams are looking for backup point guards, teams that can run the team. You don't hear a lot about teams, oh, man, if we had one big, that could put us over the top. That's just, those conversations just don't come up. So from that standpoint, look, if he had a bargain basement contract, yeah, maybe you say, hey, he's a better fit somewhere else. Somebody could see him being in that case. But I think when you have attached a pretty good number to him and teams just don't value what bigs do as much as they used to in the league, it makes it hard.
Would you, we're talking about legs on the Comcast Business Hotline, would you move Matisse into the starting lineup and bring Al off the bench? Would that help and maybe get his game going against second unit players?
I think they're better when they're smaller. That's what it looks like to me. So if you start Matisse, and if Al can, and look, here's the thing, you know, if you're backing up Embiid, you know, when he comes back, if you're backing up Embiid, I mean, you know, Embiid plays 5-6 minute spurts.
Yep.
So if you're Horford, you know, and look, you're, obviously there's going to have to be times they play together, but I think what you're saying is, can we try to make them overlap less?
Yeah.
And I think that's a very valid point with this team. I love when they play a little bit smaller and they've got one big on the floor, particularly during this stretch when they've had one on the floor for the most part, and just what the offense looks like for Ben and how much better he looks as an offensive player. And you and I were texting about it, you know, over the course of the week. I think that's a very valid point, and I think it makes a lot of sense. I really do. You think about Matisse is going to be a guy that's going to give you a ton of defense, a ton of energy. He's starting to, you know, like, he's going to be streaky with his corner threes, and he just, you know, that's just the way it's going to be. But I think overall, it's a net plus to have him on the floor, and I think then you definitely create better spacing for either one of the bigs, and also certainly for Ben.
Yeah, and I think I love those two to get on the floor from a defensive standpoint. Like, if we talk about a team that's built on defense and, you know, built for 16 and built to play defense, you're adding another superb, you know, perimeter defender out there and on the ball. Like, I'm surprised how good he is on the ball. He's just not a passing lane deflection guy. He's a good defender on ball.
No, he's got great instincts. He's got great hands. He's got great balance. That's one of the things I love about him. He can play in a position where he's in a defensive stance without getting beat because he's on great balance. And then he has an ability to track you if you know, if he gets brushed on a screen and he's tracking a ball handler, he continues to track because he's got great, like, makeup ability at the rim where he can get a strip or he can come from behind and deflect or bother. He reads screens and switching situations exceptionally well. And look, there's a reason a guy has a defensive reputation that was in college, you know, because they earn it because you're watching them play, and it's not just they're some physical freak. It's because great defenders and guys that get that kind of reputation, they're reading every situation properly. His IQ is off the charts on that end of the floor. It just is. So you're right. And he can guard on the ball. He can guard multiple positions. And the way the league is set up is smaller and smaller. That means guys his size can guard even more players that are going to be on the floor in the course of the game. So there's no question about that. His offense, I think, will continue to evolve and get better. But to me, when you look at, you know, lineup where you got Embiid or Horford out there, you got Ben out there, Tobias, Richardson, Thibel, you bring an Al off the bench. Obviously, Korkmaz has developed into a very important piece for this team. So he's going to get
my next
a lot
question.
Of
are you buying Korkmaz stock?
There's no question he's important. Yes, absolutely. He is proving to me that he has a very important role in this league, and he's critical for this team right now. Yes, I absolutely am buying into it. There's going to be times, there's going to be certain things. He's got limitations. But look, man, just look around the league.
Yeah.
Teams have guys like Korkmaz that are playing a lot of minutes for him because it's a really important thing that they do because of the way you have to honor him, be accountable to him. It just that extra step that a defender feels like he has to be in touch with a guy like that is the extra step that Ben Simmons needs to get into a gap and get to the rim. It's the extra step that, you know, Embiid needs where a double team can't get there in time and he gets more time in the post. And there are times, and I did it for a living. So I wish you were playing today, man.
You'd be making some bank.
Yeah, and here's what I say to myself when I watch a guy like that. You know, there are plays where he's impacting what's happening offensively, and he didn't touch the ball just because of his activity and the way teams have to communicate where he is. And he's getting more of this chest-to-chest type coverage now. When he's on the floor, you're seeing guys that are chest-to-chest with him on the weak side of the floor. They have no idea where the ball is. Well, that's advantageous to the Sixers, even on possessions when he's not getting an opportunity to touch it. It's just really, really important. Just like, you know, a lot of ways, like JJ, when he would run around, and now you're making guys have to communicate switches and down screens, and meanwhile the action's on the other side of the floor, and somebody is getting to the rim with no help coming because they're so worried about JJ Redick coming off some down screen on the weak side. Korkmaz is a guy that gives you some of that. I mean, JJ Redick's obviously had a really long career of doing this many, many times, a starter in this league for years. So Korkmaz has a ways to go, but there's no question to me he's had a major breakthrough. And he is a guy now that, when he's in the game, I think, you know, good things can happen for the Sixers offensively.
So last year on the Sixers, and I want to get to some league stuff with you real quick too as well. But so you're
right, something happened in the league last night? I don't know what you're talking about, man.
Oh, my God. That was an incredible 3 minutes, I'll tell you.
Oh, my. I said to somebody today, I did Goal with Gawingo this morning, and I said, am I the only one? I said, if I could borrow a line from Anchorman, one of my favorite comedies, I said, boy, things really escalated quickly out there. Like, you know, I think I saw Zion kill a guy with a trident at one point. I mean, it was like that. So it just, because I'm sitting there watching the game, obviously, like everybody else, he goes 12 minutes. And I actually thought in the first half he looked like he was running on eggshells. Like, he looked very tentative.
Yeah.
He didn't break out of a jog. He didn't make any hard cuts. And I'm thinking, like, okay, maybe he's just not quite ready mentally. And, it's, you know, it's going to be a couple games. And then, boom, that happened in the start of the fourth quarter, and it was honestly one of the more remarkable things I've seen all year.
It really was. It was wow. If you're looking deadline for Sixers, so D. Rose's name keeps coming up.
Yeah.
And I love Derrick Rose, and he's playing some great ball, man. He feels like he's back. I mean, obviously within reason of what he was, but he's playing some really good ball in Detroit. Last night, another big game, and he could play on ball. Obviously, with Ben going to the four or five, if you want to play like that, he can still shoot a little bit. He can create. I would love to have a Derrick Rose. I mean, what do you think about integrating a guy like him?
Are you kidding me, man? I would do whatever I had to do. I mean, you know, go and drive. If you're Elton Brand, go drive him there yourself. Pick him up and drive him back from Detroit yourself. He has resurrected his career in a way that's absolutely remarkable. And to change your game to that extent where you're not, you know, this athletic freak, one of a kind that we had never seen before at that position, to now be a guy that's just so fundamentally sound in the way he scores, but he still has enough junk in his game to get free of guys. He's just not exploding on you at the rim anymore. And he's become a really consistent mid-range guy. He knocks down, threes when it matters. And he's the kind of guy at this stage of his career, he'd be so hungry to play for a team that's actually got a legitimate shot to make some noise and maybe get to a final. I think he's a perfect piece for the Sixers to pick up because they desperately need another guy that can go get his own shot from anywhere on the floor. If you really think about it, none of the guys they currently have can. Not like this. Not like where he could break a guy down in an ISO or utilize a ball screen at 30 feet and be clever enough with the ball to like split a trap, to like turn the corner on the big guy if he shows too much with a live dribble. Like the guys they have now are more like Josh and Tobias are more like one or two put it down and get a shot for yourself. You know, Ben is not going to score from the perimeter. And Embiid can score from all over the place, but sometimes it gets very sloppy in how he's trying to do that. Derrick Rose is just a natural scorer with the basketball that can control his dribble and get where he wants to. So they don't really, if you think about it, they don't really have a guy like that on their entire roster.
No, and he's tough. I agree with you, too. He's never had, he got robbed of so many years of his career and coming back now. He's only 30, and people think, they don't realize that he's only 31 years old, too.
Yeah, that's the thing that's crazy, man. Sometimes guys have been around a while, man, and I look up their age myself, and I'm shocked that some of these guys are as young as they are. It seems like, Derrick Rose is like 38 years old. It's just because he went through that phase where for 3 or 4 years, I mean, he was just in limbo, trying to come back, not coming back. All of us basically wrote off Derrick Rose ever being a legitimate NBA, big-time scoring threat again. I did not think that would happen, and it's just an incredible story, and I think it's a testament to how much he loves the ball, because most guys would have walked away from it, man, what he's been through. So he's hungry to get a shot. Things are a mess there. I mean, it's a disaster there. So for him to get an opportunity to come with some younger legs around him, but also some vets, and have a role where he takes on that, that Lou Williams type of role for them.
Yeah.
It's something they desperately need, man.
Yeah, it's so true. So, league-wide, let's look around the Eastern Conference for a moment. So, what do you think of the way the Celtics are playing right now?
Well, here's the thing. Prior to that Celtics game, prior to the Lakers game, I was all over them.
Right.
They couldn't have possibly been more disturbing to me for a two-week period prior to that game. And that game made no sense. It didn't add up to me. I know the guys on Turner that night were, Barkley would say the Celtics were going to take it to them. And I'm going, well, there's no logical evidence to think that's going to happen tonight because they had been getting gouged by bad teams. I mean, they had just gotten smoked at home by the Pistons.
Yep.
This was a team that has been giving up a ton of points over the last 6-7 games. And then that night, I say, okay, that's exactly what I thought we were going to see most nights out of the Celtics. And here's what I mean by that. All of their top guys, aggressive, playing well, in rhythm, moving the ball. Because I think them, and actually probably the Heat, I'd put second, have more guys that are highly skilled pass, dribble, shoot guys than anybody else in the Eastern Conference. And if you look at the Celtics' top guys, I mean, Kemba, Jaylen Brown, Tatum, Hayward, all of those guys can catch out to the three-point line. They can take you in an ISO, or they can post you and get to the glass. So this is a team that I thought that's what it should look like a lot more nights than it has. And it all came together for that night. And they smoked them, obviously, and they steamrolled them. So now you go, okay, is that the kind of thing that can kickstart you and get you on a little bit of a roll? And now it remains to be seen. But, Anthony, they've been all over the place. For the most part, I've just been very disappointed in their inconsistency since the first of the year. It didn't make any sense to me because the chemistry is way better than it was, obviously, with Kemba replacing Kyrie. There's no question about that. So they look like they're having fun, but they had too many guys I'd watch, and I just like, why is, you know, Jason Tatum, you know, hesitant? Why is Jaylen Brown not more consistent? You know, Gordon Hayward went through a terrible stretch when he came back from his injury. So, look, they got it together for a night. Let's see where they go from here.
Is there any other? I mean, obviously you have Milwaukee. We talk about the Sixers. You got Boston. Do you take
Indiana and Miami? There's the six teams.
Right. And I was going to ask you about Indiana and Miami. Now, again, Oladipo's coming back for Indiana. Do you take either of those other two teams seriously as a team that you would worry about in the series?
I take both of them seriously. And I tell you what, the more I watch the Heat, the more I like the Heat.
Wow.
And I'm starting to say to myself, you know what? It's not crazy anymore to think if they can avoid, you know, Milwaukee, because I think Milwaukee's going to the conference finals. If they can avoid the Bucks, is it inconceivable that the Heat could beat, you know, Orlando or somebody like that, or Brooklyn in a first round series, and then get a team like, you know, Toronto in a second round? Like, why would we think Miami can't beat Toronto? The thing about the Heat, when I watch them play, there's two things that stand out to me. Again, a ton of guys that can do a lot of different things offensively. They've got a ton of shooting, so they hurt you whenever you break down. I love the playmaking of Adebayo. Like, to have a guy like that can make plays with his passing and plays with that much energy on the glass. So they've got the perfect guy in the middle. And then the other thing they're doing, Anthony, they're playing as much zone as some teams I watch play college.
Yeah.
Like, they play a ton of zone. And it's
effective. We saw it here against the Sixers.
It's effective, man, because teams don't practice zone offense. Now, it shouldn't be. You don't have to be, you know, Naismith or John Wooden to understand how to take a whiteboard and let me show you what we're going to do right now to attack this zone. It's pretty simple. I mean, I got a million things to attack a 2-3 zone I could draw up right now. But the thing is, you don't practice it. You're not thinking about that too much. Maybe you go through it in a walkthrough, hopefully. If you're playing the Heat, you better talk about it at shoot-around. But still, the application of it on the fly in the game, when that's like the only team you really have to do that against, that's hard. And so it's been very effective. So I've seen Spoelstra go to it thinking, okay, 3 minutes here, let's just go to this. And he stays in it for six.
Yeah.
Because teams can't make shots, and the ball's not moving, and the spacing stinks, so he stays in it. So I just think they're exceptionally well coached, and they've got a lot of different guys that can hurt you if you make a mistake in a breakdown. They got a ton of guys that could beat you from the perimeter.
Yeah, Hero is shooting a ball. He had 7 threes last night. Dragic is back.
Yeah, the kid Robinson has found a really nice role with
Nunn's,
them.
I like Nunn.
Obviously, they got, you know, Butler's doing his thing, and I think Bam Adebayo, if he doesn't get most improved, he's right. He's going to get a ton of votes. I mean, he's right there. There's a few other guys you could probably think of. But when you go from 8-6 as a backup center to like 17-10-5, okay, as a starting center at the second best record in the East, to me, that's a most improved player. So I just love the guy, man. You talk about a dream guy to have on your team. That's the kind of guy you want if you're coaching a big man with that kind of versatility and, most importantly, that kind of motor.
So the real quick, out west, there is just it's just another world out there, especially now that Utah's got it together. Because I like them to start the season. They got off to a slow start, and now they're just in gear.
We're really strange. So they start the year. I was with you. I thought top four in the West. They didn't start off that way. Donovan Mitchell was really bad at the start of the year, and you know he takes a lot more shots than anybody else on the team. And so when your best player is struggling, it's hard. So they struggled. Conley still hasn't really gotten his game going out there. But the thing that they have done, Bogdanovich was one of the steals of the offseason.
Yeah.
I was praying the Sixers would get him. He ends up out there. And then they picked up a guy that gave them exactly what they needed, similar to what Rose would give
Clarkson.
The Sixers. Jordan Clarkson's been unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just been unbelievable for them. And obviously with Gobert back there anchoring things, they're legit, man. Now, look, if you really went and dove into who they've beaten over the last month, I mean, it's a murderer's row of lottery teams. So, you know, that does matter, but at the same time, you know, you can just watch them and see they're playing with a different sense of who they are and a different ceiling than they were at the start of the year. So they're legit, man. They're in it. Clippers, you don't even judge them until you get to about mid-March. They have a different agenda. They don't care where they finish in a regular season. Paul George has missed a ton of games. I saw something the other day, Anthony, it blew my mind. Their best five players, when you count George and Kawhi and then Patrick Beverley, Harrell and Lou Williams have played 45 minutes together all year.
Wow!
And they're 31-14.
So, yeah, they're the best team in the West. They're nasty.
I think when it's all said and done, that's the team I picked to win it all, and that's the team I'm sticking with. I know the Lakers have been great, but like I said, the Clippers have a different agenda, different pace. Denver's been playing great. Dallas, obviously, has been this great story, and Luka's unbelievable, but they don't have quite enough to make a serious run out there. The Rockets are dangerous because of the way they play, and if just a couple guys get hot, they're a problem, but I think they're going to be bouncing the first round. So, I mean, you know, it's going to be very interesting out there as well, and you guys are going to get a real sample Saturday night of a team that's, you know, been unbelievable in there. You talk about throwing some length at Simmons on his drives, man. There is no back line longer than that. Well, you got Howard McGee, AD. I mean, and I actually did a preview for it that's going to be airing a lot over the next couple of days on ESPN and ABC for that game, and that's really what I focused on, Ben versus the front line, because they lead the league in blocks, they lead the league in rim alterations. And that's obviously how Ben has been scoring. So it's going to be something's got to give, you know, and they're great on the road. Sixers great at home. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, all right, last thing. Give me the legs top five players, say, under 25.
Oh, man, on a fly, that's hard on a fly. You got to give me more prep for
that,
man. I don't want to miss anybody.
No, just give me a handful of guys that you love, the young players that you just love to watch, that you are in on. Obviously, Luke is one.
Well, you got to put Luke and Giannis in there. I mean, I actually was asked a question. I had to fill out a survey for ESPN and for Sirius Radio, talking about basically recapping the past decade and then looking ahead to the next decade. And one of the questions was, the next decade in the NBA will be defined by? And my answer was Giannis Antetokounmpo and Luka Doncic. And what I mean by that is, number one, yeah, they're going to be in the mix every year for MVP. They're going to be, I think their teams are going to be in the mix. But the biggest question is, where are they going to be? Because that's what's going to determine, I think in large part, what happens in the league. Like if they go pair up with another legitimate all-league caliber player, and I don't put Porzingis in that category, if either one of them do that, that's what's going to define the next decade. You're going to have a series of years in which those guys are competing for championships. So, yeah, clearly those two guys would be at the top of the list. And it's hard to believe Giannis has been in the league like 7 years, and he's like, is he still under 25? I mean, he might be. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Luka, by the way, he can't even drink legally until the end of next month.
No, he's ridiculous. I got a chance to be – I was at Sixers-Dallas in Dallas 2 weekends ago, and I got a chance to watch Luka in person, and he's just so ridiculous. I mean, he's an amazing player, man. His vision, he's got court vision. He's got a ridiculously quick release.
Yeah, and it's, you know, look, and the other thing, he's got an unstoppable go-to move.
Yeah.
You can't guard his step-back three. And the thing is that what I'm seeing this year, he didn't have this last year. He didn't have the ability, Anthony, to basically use the step back as a way of then blowing by quicker defenders.
Yeah.
He gets to the rim at will.
Yeah, he does.
And so that tells me also, the way guys sort of bounce off him and ride him to the rim, he's much stronger than he looks. He doesn't have a lot of body definition. Like, he doesn't have muscle tone, but he's got size, and he's clearly stronger than he looks because he doesn't really get knocked off balance when he's driving to the rim and guys are riding his hip. And then he gets there, and he finishes with amazing touch. The only thing I can't stand about him right now is I just can't stand all the whining. The guy's he's literally 48 minutes of complaining.
Yeah.
And it's driving me a little bit insane. The other night when he ripped his jersey, was that against the Sixers he did? I don't remember.
That was against the Lakers.
Oh, that's right, the Lakers game. And so he rips his jersey in the middle of the game.
Threes.
And he looked like, you know what he looked like when he did that? He looked like a tennis brat.
Yes, yeah.
Like, that's what he looked like, yeah. Right? John McEnroe at 15. Right. Like, that's what he would have done, something like that. You know, and I'm going, come on, man. Like, you got to be better than that. The other thing is, he's got a little bugaboo right now with his free throw shooting. He shot an air ball the other night. An air ball.
Yeah,
I mean, I said that almost, to me, disqualifies him from voting for him for All-League, because you're no way can you, and Giannis would be in the same boat, I guess, because he's done it too, but he's right now struggling at the line. He missed five in a row against the Lakers. He's overall, I think he's under like 65% for the month. Like, that's, for a guy that good of a shooter, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But yeah, obviously those are the two guys at the top of the list. I mean, I love Siakam. You know, I'd put him in that category. I just love his all around versatility with his game.
Yeah, Trae Young is a lot of fun to watch.
Do love Trae Young. I wonder SGA. If Trae Young is going to be one of those guys that puts up a ton of numbers and never really plays on relevant teams.
Yeah.
I do wonder about that a little bit.
Yeah. That goes back to what you and I were having a conversation about, the AI Ben Simmons. AI is great, great, a talent, amazing warrior that he was, versus Ben for the full career. It's a tough, it sounds like it's not tough, but it kind of is, because of the difficulty with AI.
Yeah, I mean, you hit me with that question, and I say, believe it or not, that's tougher than it sounds.
Right.
Because there's no comparison between the two players in terms of the better all-around player. It's obviously Ben Simmons. He just affects the game in so many more ways. But that one thing that AI did, you know what I mean? He
assassin.
Did it at that assassin killer level and the competitiveness that he had. But I look at a guy like Ben and I say, if you pair up Ben Simmons with the right kind of, like, a perimeter star, like you know, a Kawhi or a Paul George, or like somebody that you know, that plays on the perimeter that can, you know, do everything from out there. Like, Ben can play with anybody.
Yeah,
I don't know if AI could have. And in this league we're in now, it's going to take more than one guy.
Yeah.
Like that team he took to the finals, I don't think that could happen today. You need to have, even look at last year. Bucks were the only 60-win team in the league. They couldn't get there because when it came, push came to shove, and they loaded up five guys in the lane on Giannis, they didn't have enough talent on that team to overcome that. And the Raptors came back from two down, and they get to the finals. They win a championship. So I don't know that AI would have been able to navigate the East or certainly not win a championship with that type of team. You know, one guy that does whatever he wants offensively and lights it up, and then a bunch of dudes that want to set screens, get offensive rebounds, and guard people. I don't know that you could, but I think Ben does so many things to affect the game, and you compare him with just about anybody.
I love you, man. I thank you for the extended time, and love just sitting here and just talking basketball with you. You're the best, brother.
Anytime, brother. You know, we'll talk a lot throughout the rest of the year, man. Have fun. You going to be down there Saturday? You going down?
Yes, sir. I can't wait to see you. I can't wait for that game.
I'll be watching on my big screen at home, man. Feet up. So enjoy the game, man.
Thanks, brother. You're the best, right, man. Dude. Love you, brother. Take it easy. Later. There he is, Tim Legler on the Comcast Business Line. I apologize for the length, but I hope you enjoyed it, because it was a really good NBA conversation. Anytime you get legs on, he'll dive deep into a team and into the league. So I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. Let's take a quick T.O. and we'll come back. It's Cousins Corner live from Parks Casino Street. Road Ben Salem.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So Super Bowl, and we'll get dive deeply into the Super Bowl with Brad Feinberg, our betting expert, the analyst on NBC Sports Philadelphia. We'll talk about the bowl coming up, and Brad's going to join us straight up 7:30, and we'll take a real deep dive into the Super Bowl, some props, and Brad is awesome. He's got his fingers on all this stuff. He's really a sharp dude. So we'll go into all the props, which will be a lot of fun, and get you set for the Super Bowl, Chiefs and Niners. And then also maybe throw in a little college basketball, marches around the corner, some teams to look at as we go into March. But let's get back to the phone lines. George in Mount Airy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Georgie?
Yo, cuz.
How you doing, buddy?
Hey. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, what's happening, bud?
Nothing much, man. Great interview with Lex. That was awesome. It's good to hear his analysis on it, and you know, Sixers in the NBA. I'm calling in to kind of go to talk about is, you know, like it's a little at the beginning of the year. I just took the Sixers to be in the finals, and now like as the season is playing, you know, playing out, we're almost like at midseason. Is just like it's like the same old Sixers. You know, Ben Simmons kind of being inconsistent with, you know, his effectiveness, you know, Embiid in and out of the lineup,
right.
Us taking too many threes. Last week, I just kind of was like, I got so frustrated. It's like, you know what? I can't get any frustrated. You know, it's almost like this is where we are. You know, we are what we are at this point.
Yeah. You know, I hear you. I understand your frustration. I do think that they'll be better. I think that they are built for now. Again, who knows? I mean, what kind of shape they are? I think they're going to get some help off the bench. At least I'm hoping so.
Yeah, I don't know. Like it's kind of. And then a couple of weeks ago, you know, the coach came out and said, you know, I want Simmons to take at least one 3-pointer a game, and it's like. Like at this point, it's like he's almost lost the locker room. If you can't get one, if you can't get a star player to listen to you, I don't know. It's a players' league, but
you gotta
do something to change it up. You know the definition of insanity is like doing the same thing over and over and over again, and expecting a different result. Like I'm trying to think, like what would happen if, you know, in the first quarter he doesn't take that three, he pulls him for the game, and he sits him for the rest of the three quarters, like. I know, like, what would happen then? Like, would that, like, spark something in Ben's head? I mean, because, you know, Brett Brown's going to be here for the rest of the year anyway. Like, I think he has to, like, do something to get it going. Like, I don't know. What do you think, Gus?
Yeah, I hear you, bro. Listen, I get it. He's not – see, here's the thing. He's not going to embarrass Ben. Like, that's, like, an embarrassing your player. And I understand exactly what you're saying, George, and to get him – to kind of force him into shooting, I don't know why he doesn't do it, man. I have no idea. But I don't think that's the answer. I don't think you embarrass him, because then I think you really do lose them. Like, I'll tell you, I don't think he's lost the team. I don't. I think he connects with those guys. I do. But again, I don't know that Pat Riley's not getting Ben Simmons to shoot threes.
Yeah.
I don't think so. You know, I mean, and I don't know, again, if you get Monday, we'll take Monday, won't you? If you get that on a regular basis.
That's true. If I could take that, you know, the aggressive driving, you know, killer instinct, you know, then I'll take it, you know. So we'll see what happens, man.
Don't give up totally, all right? Don't give up.
I know. It's just tough, that's all.
I feel you, brother. Take it easy. NBA All-Stars, the starters are announced. The East, Trae Young, Kemba Walker, Siakam, Giannis, and Joel. Now, who was the West? You have that, Tyler?
I did. Let me go find it again for you real quick.
Because I know that they we just got that announced, the All-Stars.
So the West is Luka, Harden, LeBron, Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis.
That's sick. Is that not sick? Luka, Harden, LeBron, AD, and Kawhi. Damn. That's a sick squad, man.
But they still do the draft, right?
Phew. That's nasty starter, don't you think?
That's an unreal group of guys.
And then you got Kemba. Who'd you say? Who did I say? Kemba, Giannis.
Trae Young. Siakam, and Joel.
Joel. Oof. That's a big underdog right there, brother. Chris in Overbrook, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
How you doing, man?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, listen, man, I wouldn't even want Derrick Rose on this team, man, to tell you the truth.
Why?
He's a mentally soft player. We don't need that on this team right now, man. He's basically, to me, the same player as Josh Richardson. He has a bit more skill ball handling, but
mentally soft. How do you figure?
He's just always been a soft player, man. He's just
Derrick Rose.
Oh yeah, he's what is he doing?
I don't know. You and I see it differently, bro.
Nah, man. Even if he is not mentally soft, he's still basically the same player as Josh Richardson. He's going to come in here. He's not really going to do much.
He's more of a one. I completely disagree with you. I'm sorry, buddy. I am so far on the other side. Like, you're on the South Pole, I'm on the North Pole. What can he do? He can play on the ball. He can play off the ball. He can create a shot. He can still shoot it. He's tough. He's the opposite of mentally tough. The fact that he's still playing after what he went through injury-wise is the epitome of mentally tough. Mentally soft. What in the world? Is he talking about Derrick Rose?
Sure sounded like it.
Who was he talking about? Jalen Rose? What's the matter? That's crazy.
Comes back from blown knees and still can compete.
Insane. Dave, in Center City, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Anthony Comestar.
Oh, there he is, the legend.
Let's go back to rewind to 1986. Timmy Legs with the blonde, frosted blonde mullet playing for the Philadelphia Spirit in the USBL and Holy Family. 19 women in the house, 18 of them to watch him play. He is, Anthony, he missed the boat on a few things. He's dead on about Boston. As of today, 16-1. The Shamrocks are a live underdog. Now, if I were not a Sixer fan, I'd put a stack on them. He missed the boat on the Miami Heat, Anthony. They're 28-1 right now. They have no chance. But let's talk about the top five teams, Ant, right now. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Milwaukee Bucks, both L.A. teams, all 3-1 right now.
Yes.
And you think the Chiefs and their fans are hungry after 50 years without a chip? How do you think the Bucks fans feel?
There's something about that Bucks team that I don't buy, that I'm a little leery of.
You're not drinking the Kool-Aid, are you?
Not of more. I like. If you ask me right now who wins, I'm with Legs. I love the Clippers. I think the Clippers are just nasty.
Yes, but let's look at the next two teams in Vegas's pool right now. Sixers 12-1. Rockets 12-1. I think Vegas knows a few things about sports. Or am I? Out of line.
No, of course. You're right on. And you're a man that reads the Vegas numbers well.
And, by the way, you know what's kooky before the season started? St. Louis Blues, okay, who are unbeatable, were a fifth choice at 16-1 to win the cup. And I'm sure some of our gambling aces didn't miss that. Anthony Gendon, I love you, buddy.
I love you, buddy. You got it, man. That's awesome, Dave. Good stuff. Chucky, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Chucky.
Cut it out, Anthony. You killing me.
What's up, brother?
Bro, I got cut off earlier. I had to hang up. I couldn't wait. But that AI and Ben Simmons thing you did, like, I know you don't believe that. He's a baby. I know you don't believe that. He is a baby. I know you don't believe that. He is better, and you will take him over Hall of Fame.
Wow. Now here was the caveat, because there's a huge caveat here. The caveat was the rest of the career in the unknown versus the known. Obviously, he's a killer, right? Like AI, just ridiculous.
Yeah.
Right? Stone killer. Like he wanted the ball. He was an incredible scorer. However, you know, it was tough building a team around him. It was tough taking care of his body. The young buck, 23, he's got a little, can do everything. Except
this is true, but AI got better every year, even still with that you saying. Every year he got better.
Yeah, listen. He was. I'm not
pushed him out of the league. So come on.
Listen, I'm not giving you. I'm not telling you. You know, I mean, he's HOF for a reason.
Hey, even up until this point, Ben Simmons' career versus AI career up until this point, it's like it pales in comparison. AI was a superstar at this point.
Yeah,
for his career.
I mean, you know, the argument comes into play only with the things that he does and the fact that he's 6'10 versus 6 feet. That's all.
No, that's not taking nothing away from Ben. But, I mean, when you say what you say, that's like total disrespect.
No disrespect. Never disrespect three. I love you, Chucky. Thanks, buddy. take it easy, brother. All right, we're going to come back. We're going to switch it up a little bit. Dive deep into the NFL and the Super Bowl with Brad Feinberg, our betting analyst. That's right, NBC Sports Philadelphia. We're live at the Sportsbook right here at Parks Casino Street Road, Bensale.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 7:30 live from Parks Casino Street Road, Ben Salem. Don't forget to go to parkscasino.com/PA. Download the app and get your $500 free credit and site credit. Use promo code QB500. All right, let me get to the line right now. Here he is, our betting analyst, NBC Sports Philly. He is terrific. Brad Feinberg on the Comcast Business Hotline. What's up, brother?
How are you, my friend?
Always great. Always great talking to you, man.
Always. And I enjoyed the interview with Legler a lot. He's really just love listening to guys like that. You can never learn too much. And a guy like that obviously has so much knowledge. And it was just really, I really enjoyed it a lot.
So,
good stuff.
So a guy like you who is real in tune and you follow all this stuff so closely, like, for instance, if he's talking about the Clippers, does that register to you? Do you go?
Oh, absolutely. Like, before the year, the big bet I made, you know, I made one small bet on the Sixers and a large bet on the Jazz to win the West and to win the title is, yeah, I've been following Utah, and he's right. Like, a lot of their wins have been against, you know, like a parade of lottery teams, but they are playing much better. And I bet a bet on them to win the division also. But I do agree there's a total difference between looking at Milwaukee last year, Anthony. And you pointed out, I remember last year you kept saying it to me. You said it to me probably 50 times, if not more. Wait till the playoffs happens and, you know, you're going to see the difference. And there just is. And someone like the Clippers, they're just playing for that 82nd game to be done where they can play Paul George 37 minutes. They could play Kawhi Leonard 37 minutes, 38 minutes in these tough games. and they're just waiting to get to that moment. And there totally is a difference. There's a huge difference, you know, when I hear someone like Tim Legler talk about it, absolutely. But the problem is, like someone like the Clippers, you know, it's already built into the market that they're going to be,
right,
if not the best team. You know, it's not like it's priced in. You know, most people agree with him and his thoughts, and like the price on someone like the Clippers is very short because of that, as well,
right,
it should be.
Yeah,
as well it should be.
All right, let's tackle some of the props in the Super Bowl. Have you begun your homework into the Super Bowl and some of the props? And
yeah, I've begun it, but they still haven't come out with a ton of them yet, which is as many as they're going to have like in the upcoming days. I have four of them for you right now for your listeners that I want to go over with you and I think definitely present some value. First one, Anthony, is, and this is interesting, okay, which will be the higher scoring half, okay? First half or second half? You'd probably say 50-50. But in Super Bowls, since 2000, okay, the second half scoring has outscored the first half 14-4-1. The average first half score has been 20.3. The average second half score has been 27.4.
Wow.
I attribute that, you know, even though, you know, these are professional athletes, I do think there's still, it's the Super Bowl a lot of times. Even look at the Patriots.
Yeah.
Remember they wouldn't score in the first quarter? I don't think they scored in any of their Super Bowls in the first quarter. I think it just, there's nerves a lot of times at the beginning of the game, and the second half has been cashing at about a 75% rate over the last 20 years. That's not a trend that I'm looking to buck, I think. And, you know, you only have to basically lay $1.10 on it. It's not like you're paying a premium, and I think there's edge on that one.
Well, that's a great idea. You know what? That's a great bet when you think about it, because I agree with you. I think particularly in a game like this where you have two heavyweights, right? And
absolutely,
it's always like, and you remember, anytime you talk about like a big fight, always early, there's a feeling out.
Absolutely.
You know, you kind of want to play it a little bit closer to the vest, play it a little bit safe. You want to learn a little bit about how they're playing you. And usually by the second half is when you hit them up top, right? Like you can hit them with plays because you're setting up things throughout the first half as well.
That's exactly right. And this has gone back, Anthony, 20 years. This isn't some like the last 4 years. This is 20 Super Bowls, which to me is enough of a sample size in my, that where I actually think there is merit to it. I don't think it's just pure luck. I think there's something to it for the reasons you just said, and I think there is that little bit of a getting to know each other kind of dance routine in the first half, and then in the second half, it's more like, okay, you know, it's more explosive, and the numbers bear it out. Again, seven more points per game in the second half. That is an incredible difference. So I think there's real value in that. Next one I'll give you is kind of one where you see it and you probably just gloss over it, or probably maybe think it's the other way you bet it, but that's not the case. Will the longest touchdown be over or under 1.5 yards? And look, the simple math in this is that 62% of the time there's a 1 yard touchdown in a game when there's a total that is high, like a higher total, which is like this total is 54. When the total is 50 or higher, 62% of the time there's a 1 yard touchdown. 62% of the time, you can lay far less than that right now. You can lay about $1.25, and you should be having to lay about $1.60, $1.65 on this bet. Usually there is a 1 yard touchdown. Maybe the average person say, oh, it's so hard to get a 1 yard touchdown. Oh my gosh. But you get a pass interference to the 1 yard line. You get
you'd
be surprised how many times there's 1 yard touchdowns. The answer is 62%. The math doesn't lie. So that is just one where I'm just trusting the math. And there is edge to take under 1.5 yard touchdown as the shortest touchdown in the game. Next, I got for you is...
That's a brilliant one already. Man, you sift through these things.
I can't help it, man. I can't help it.
That's great. I would never even... Like, that would be one I wouldn't even look at. And that's a brilliant... That's brilliant. Yeah.
It's just again, I have the math on my side. I have, like... That's one, Anthony. That's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of games. 62%.
No, but like when you break it out like that, when you talk about pass interference, and then with the Chiefs, where they're so hard because they have so many weapons, like Kelce, right? Like, you know that at some point they're going to mug him in the end zone.
Oh, the Chiefs get a exactly. Exactly. They got the Chiefs, I believe, in the Tennessee game, I believe, yeah. they got multiple pass interference calls. It happens all the time.
Yes.
And you'd be surprised how many, when you first see that prop, you know, you ask the average layman, they're probably like, oh, there's not going to be a 1 yard touchdown. Because the average, you're probably, oh, you know, what are the chances of there being a 1 yard touchdown? Well, the answer is 62%. And you don't have to lay 60, you know, you can lay a lesser price than that. And people just tend to think, oh, all I have to avoid is a 1 yard touchdown. That seems easy. And they'll maybe bet the other side thinking that it's attractive. But again, I just go by the math and what history of the NFL shows, especially when there's a high total like this, because total 54, Anthony, you're theoretically going to get 6 to 7 touchdowns in the game.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
as opposed to if the total was 37, you're maybe only going to get 4 touchdowns. It's going to be harder to get that 1.5 yard touchdown being only 1 yard because there's less touchdowns. The more touchdowns, the better chance you have of getting a 1 yard touchdown play.
Yes, I'm with you.
And I'm going to give you a couple others. This one is just, again, I did it last week, and I'm going to go back to it. Patrick Mahomes, 1.5 touchdowns. Now, you have to lay, it's at Parks right now. You can lay, I believe it's 235, which is pricey, okay. But in his career, he's gone over this about 75%, and this translates into only about 70%. But that 5% difference is why I think it's a winning play. And we see, again, total 54, Anthony, they are going to pass the ball a lot. There's no doubt in my mind they're going to score at least 3 touchdowns, even against this great 49ers defense. I don't know how great it is, but it's
right.
In terms of this year's NFL, it's been one of the best 3, let's say, comfortably. But I feel very comfortable that they will get minimum 3 touchdowns, and if they get their 3 touchdowns, Patrick Mahomes is going to throw for 2. Never fun to lay minus 235. I get it, and it's painful when it loses, but I think this price should be closer to minus 300, and I will be very surprised if Mahomes does not get 2 passing touchdowns. So that is definitely another one that I am betting. I just betted it today, actually. And I will give you another one. You know, I've been impressed with Kyle Shanahan.
Yes.
Anthony, I'll tell you why. Like, how many times you see a game, okay, or whether it be basketball or football, where one play keeps working, and you're like, gosh, seems like they could throw to this guy 50 times in a row and it'll be complete, and then they just stop doing it. They do something else. The coach gets bored. He's like, all right, I got to get someone else involved. Well, those games the last 2 weeks against Minnesota and against Green Bay, he just kept running and running and running because they couldn't stop him, and he didn't get bored. He stuck with what was working, and he knew that that's how they were going to win, and he didn't force-feed Garoppolo. They ran the ball 50 times. And I think that we're seeing that Garoppolo is a guy that they will use when they have to use him, but he's not the focal point. You can get under 249, which for the year he averaged 247, I believe. But right now, I think in the biggest games of the year, Shanahan is saying he wants to run the ball with this offense and not expose Garoppolo.
Yeah.
And I think 249 is way too high. I don't see any reason why they're not going to have the same game plan as me, which is to run the ball. And the Chiefs, while they've been vastly, vastly improved, they still finished, I believe, 28th in the NFL against the run.
Right.
They did great last week against Derrick Henry. I get that. But I think Shanahan will be very cognizant of running the ball, and I do not think Garoppolo's going to get 250. I really don't. I think they're going to do with what has been working for them, which has been running the ball.
Wow. That's awesome.
I think he has the discipline to do that because that's what's worked with him, and he won't get away from it just because, you know?
Yeah, no, it's a great thought process. The only thing I think that could skew it would be...
They fall behind.
Right. If Kansas City really, you know, it's a bad matchup for their defense or...
Well, if that happens, you're absolutely right. But part of my handicap, and I know we don't quite agree on this one, I know you think it's going to be... we both think the Chiefs are going to win. I know you think it's going to be more KC in an easier fashion. I think this game is going to be very, very, very close, extremely come down to the way end. And I think it is going to be close. Now, if it is obviously a Chiefs blowout, then I'm probably going to be drawing dead. But that's the same way for any of these things. Anytime you take an under and your team gets really behind, it sounds counterintuitive, but, if your team gets behind and you have the over on a prop, it's the best thing that can happen is them getting way behind. And, because then they're going to go pass. I think this game is going to be a close game, so... but you're right, absolutely, Anthony.
It could certainly be that. And Shanahan is I love him. He's a great, great play caller, play designer.
He really is. These
all
are
that
two,
ghost movement.
I would say, Anthony, if you would tell me you agree with me, I think these are two of the four best coaches. I'd say these two, Belichick, and maybe I like John Harbaugh a lot too. But
yeah,
I think these are really top flight coaches that really help their teams. And when you handicap these games, I think what sometimes people don't do enough is look at the coaching matchup.
Yeah.
And I really think coaching in the NFL is worth a lot. Yeah. And you see that with New England year in, year out. And I think that these two teams are coached incredibly well. And I think it's one of the main reasons they got here is because of how good the coaches are.
Yeah. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt. Real quick, and then I want to ask if there's any college teams because we're getting close to March.
Yep.
But there's one aspect of the game that stands out to me, and obviously that defense is good. The Niners defense is good, and Richard Sherman is Richard Sherman. But I think Tyreek Hill is a real tough cover for them. Tough cover for anybody.
You think for anybody, yeah.
But I wonder, because people think that defense is all that, I wonder how they're going to attack Hill because of that speed. And that's negates Sherman's, real cover ability against their two best weapons are those two guys along with Kelce.
Yeah, I mean, look, I have incredible respect for the Chiefs defense, but I mean the Chiefs offense. But look, and I actually did look this up today. I was curious if Mahomes, what's the lowest points he's ever scored in the game? And he got 23 a couple times this year. But do you remember that game, Anthony, against Indianapolis?
Yes.
On Sunday Night Football, they held him to 13, which is this is before Mahomes got injured. It's not impossible. Like now, yes. I do expect. I think the Chiefs are going to score. I really do. But I think the 49ers are also going to score. I guess that's the thing. But I don't think it's realistic to expect the 49ers to stop this team. The floor for Kansas City is probably 23-24. I think that's about as poor as if San Francisco held them that, they have to feel really good. And I think that's the best they can realistically hope. But again, the difference to me, Anthony, and it comes down to this. If you were watching that Tennessee game or if you were watching that Houston game, okay, against the Chiefs, one thing that was just obvious, I thought was a great live, both were, to me, were really good live betting games because I could see, Stevie Wonder could see that those teams were not going to be able to stop the Chiefs. You could just, as the game was going on, that's why I like doing live betting so much because you can, there's no hidden secrets, and I could tell that the Titans could not get a pass rush. Yeah. He had all day to throw the ball, and they just didn't have the bullets to beat them, and you could just tell that there was just no way they were going to really get stopped. They'd have to get a miracle almost to get a stop, and they got like one stop in the second half, and it was just too hard for them. Now, San Francisco will be good enough, in my opinion, to get stops. They won't just give up a touchdown 10 straight times like the Texans did. Or they won't, they didn't punt against the Titans after the first possession. The 49ers, they'll get a sack here and there. They'll be like, make it a second and 18 where Mahomes can't get that first down. And I think that is the difference in the game where they will not be able to score every possession. And, they're going to have to punt sometimes. And I think the 49ers offense, they average, Anthony, I don't know if you noticed, they average 30 points per game in San Francisco.
You're right.
They did score their points this year. This is not an impotent offense. This is an offense that...
Yeah, I agree.
They were, I believe, second or third in the NFL in scoring, behind only, I believe, the Ravens and the Chiefs. So this is not like this is an offense that can hang with them. It's a different kind of offense. It's certainly a different kind of offense. I understand that. But I think they're going to be able to score. And again, I think the Chiefs defense, I'm sorry, I think the 49ers defense will be able to get enough stops to make it a competitive game, whereas teams like the Texans and Titans couldn't make any stops, so it wasn't a competitive game.
All right, real quick, switching points. We're switching sports real quick.
Yes.
Because we're up against it. I really want to ask you about, and we'll talk more, but, you know, March is around the corner. We get Super Bowl, then we start thinking about college basketball. Are there teams right now that you're sizing up that you like that could make some noise in March?
I just made two bets, and I made one yesterday and one today, which I think have value. I took West Virginia at 60-1 to win the title. Again, I don't know why they're that high. They're ranked like fifth, and I think 60-1 is just too high. And another thing, I just bet today, Arizona. They have three of the best 15 NBA prospects, Anthony Mannion, Zeke Najai, Josh Green. And this is a team that, kind of funny, they've lost some, like, four really close games. I took them at 50-1 today. This is a year, Anthony, take the long shots. Don't take Duke at 10-1. Don't take Kansas at 12-1. Take a long shot team, because any of these teams could beat anyone. I think Arizona is a team that actually has a chance to do well once the tournament starts. I think they have a lot of NBA talent.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Great call that. Well, we'll be talking a lot more college basketball, and we'll hit you back next week to talk about some more props in the Super Bowl. Brad, great stuff as always.
I love being on, Anthony. Thank you so much. Best. Good luck, everyone, for all your bets.
Thanks, bro. There he is, Brad Feinberg, the betting expert right there for NBC Sports Philadelphia. He's terrific. We'll come back. Actually, we won't come back. We will. I want to tell you, thanks for listening. I can't believe we're just, we're out of time. We're live at Parks Casino. I just keep going. the Sportsbook of Parks Casino. Don't forget 444 Casino of Choice, Street Road, Bend, Salem, for all of your sports betting action. Everybody have a great night. And we'll see you tomorrow, normal time, with the Tunis. Have a great night, everybody.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.